our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In light of our Do Something Lenten discipline this year, allow me to concentrate on a couple of verses from our reading from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. I'm talking particularly about verses 12 through 14. Now, the verses that I really would like to focus on starts in the 12th verse, which reads, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father." Now, I don't know about you, but these words of Jesus to me are perplexing on the one hand, and yet they are powerfully inspiring and encouraging on the other hand. So I hope to point out how these words of Jesus from the 14th chapter of John bear directly on your life and on the life that we share together in this body of Christ known as our Savior's Lutheran Church. Now, I don't know if you caught this when I read these words or these passages, but these two verses, chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, these two verses contain with them three promises of Jesus for us. The first promise is that all believers will do the works that Jesus does. The second promise is that all believers will even do greater works than Jesus did. And the third promise to us from Jesus is that as we carry on his works, we'll have access to Jesus in prayer to ask whatever we need, and he will do it. So for the next three Wednesdays, including today, we'll take these three promises of Jesus one at a time, and we'll begin to unpack and see their significance in our life, both as individuals as well as a communal congregation. So tonight I'll focus on the first one, and that is that we are carrying on the works of Jesus. Again, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do." Now, I have two very crucial observations about this particular verse from John chapter 14. First, Jesus' promise is not made to the apostles only. Jesus' promise is made to all who believe in him. And second observation is that this is a promise that we will do, all those who believe in Jesus will do Jesus' works. So it's a promise to all believers. There is no exclusion. There is no exemption here if you are a Christian. This promise isn't just for pastors or for veteran Christians or for the highly spiritual among us. This promise is not meant just for the mature Christians or the professional Christians or the missionaries or the elders of the faith. It's not meant only for the evangelists or the highly gifted Christians. It's for all who believe in Jesus. The text says it, the one who believes in me. In other translations, it reads, It's for whoever believes in me, Jesus says. So any and all believers will do the works that Jesus did, period. If you don't, you're not a believer. If you don't, you're not a Christian. That is the significance of this text. All who believe in Jesus will do his works. Period. Pure and simple. That is what it means to be a Christian, friend. That is what it means to be a fellow believer in Christ, to do the works that Christ does. Now again, I said this last Wednesday and I'll keep saying it, the works that we're talking about here is not works for our salvation. That is not what we're talking about. We don't work nor earn our salvation. We know that as good Lutherans. That is covered, our salvation is covered by what Jesus did on the cross. What we're talking about here is good works for the sake of our neighbors, for the sake of others. So the first observation from this 12th verse of chapter 14 is that the promise is not made to the apostles or certain individuals in the faith, but to all who believe. The second observation is this, that Jesus promises that all believers will do his work. Now, what all has Jesus done, you may ask, up to this point in his ministry, according to John's gospel? Well, he turned the water into wine in the second chapter of John. In the fourth chapter of John, he read the mind of a Samaritan woman who came to draw water at the well. And then in that same chapter 4, he healed a royal official's son. And then in the fifth chapter, he healed a man who has been crippled for 38 years. And following that, in the sixth chapter, he fed over 5,000 people with two loaves of bread and five fish, or five loaves and two fish. And then in the sixth chapter, Jesus walked on water. And then shortly after that, he healed a man who has been born blind, and then he raised Lazarus from the dead. That's the works that Jesus have done up to that point. And so he told his disciples, whoever believes in me will do those works. But the question is, does Jesus mean and expect for every Christian to do all of these works? In order for you to be considered a believer in him, you have to do all of those things, turn water into wine and make the lame walk and raise the dead. If you don't, does that mean you're not a believer, that you are not one of his? Well, according to Paul, the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, in the 12th chapter, Paul basically says that each believer is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. And he says, for one, the Holy Spirit gives the ability and the utterance of wisdom, and to another he gives faith, and to yet another he gives the gift of healing, and to another he gives the gift of working miracles, and to some he gives the gift of possessing the gift of healing. In other words, the Holy Spirit gives each person a gift that suits the Holy Spirit's purpose and reasoning, and gives us the ability to do Christ's works accordingly. So does that mean that everyone have to possess all of these at one time? No, absolutely not. Well, if Jesus doesn't mean that all believers have to do miracles in order to be able to fulfill this promise of doing his works, if Jesus didn't mean that all believers will have to speak in tongues in order to be valid as a follower of Christ, then what does it mean? What does Jesus mean when he says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do? Well, the key verse to this that unlocks chapter 12 is the verse before it, verse 11. Verse 11 of chapter 14 reads, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. In other words, Jesus is saying that if you don't believe in God because of who Jesus is, then at the very least, believe in God by the works that Jesus has done or that Jesus does. Let his works testify to who God is. If you don't believe in his words. So the bottom line is that the main function and the purpose of the works that Jesus did is to do one thing. To cause people to believe and to have faith in him. And those who believe and have faith in him will come to know and believe and have faith in God the Father. So Jesus implies in verse 12 that when you believe in me, I will work in you. I will abide in you like a vine works in a branch. I will abide, I will work in you. And your works, like mine, Jesus would say, will lead people to faith in God the Father. So whatever specific works there are that Jesus has in mind for us, what defines them here is that they are to point to Jesus. They are pointers to Jesus, which will help people believe in him. They are witnesses along with Jesus' words. And then they will lead people to faith. That's what his works do, friends. That's what the works of Jesus did and continues to do. It leads people to faith. And he's saying, at the very least, that's what all believers, that's what all believers' works do. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, the works that point people to faith in Jesus, in Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus, the truth is, that's what your life is. Now, sometimes, you know this as well as I do, that there are certain individuals, people who are in limelight and so forth, who claim to be a Christian, and you wonder by the way they behave and act and speak if they are truly doing the works of Christ. Or just a name only? Is it a title that's worth bearing? Does it access them certain privileges by being labeled a believer, a Christian? What Jesus is saying is that those who believe in him will do his works, will point, will lead others to God the Father. If you look and study the life of Jesus, that is all that he did other than dying for us on the cross. That is what Christ did in everything that he did. Everybody that he touched, every word that came out of his mouth, every action that he did is always testifying to the presence of his Father. And that is the challenge for all who believe in him, to do likewise. Everything that we do, everything that we say, every thought that we have is to be in such a way that it will help and invite people to faith, to believe in Jesus. And when they believe in Jesus, they will believe in the Father. That is what our Christian life is. That is what Christianity is about. Pointing others to Jesus. If what we do day in and day out does not do that, you ought to reconsider. Because that is what it means to live a life that follows the works of Christ. Leading, pointing, directing, inviting people to Christ, to be in relationship with him. Your works, your life is a display of the trustworthiness of Jesus. So all believers will be marked by this, that being united to Jesus, they will carry on his work by his power and do the kinds of things that will bear witness about Jesus. Not about themselves, but about Jesus. They will point people to Jesus and through Jesus to the Father. That is what all believers are marked by. Now, dear friends, I'd go so far and say that Christians are defined by works and life which flow from faith in Jesus and points to the glory of God. Yes, as sinful creatures, part of our human condition is that we were once dead in our sins. The Apostle Paul preaches and teaches and wrote all about that. We were once dead in our sins, but through Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, we are alive. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works for our neighbors, not for our salvation. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, the works that he did. So in response to our new life in Christ, our daily life, our words, our thoughts, and our deeds and our actions are to invite, are to exude a sense of godly presence that will help others draw closer to him, draw closer to believe in him. That, my friends, is the first part of our text, verse 12 of chapter 14 of John. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. So now the question is, as we are engaging on this journey to do something, as I talked about last Wednesday at our Ash Wednesday service, have you done that this past week? Testified by the way you talked, the way you behaved, the way you acted, help others believe in God. In Christ. How many of you here have formed a group already? to do something. Some of you. In fact, I know Nancy Peters. Where are you, Nancy? Nancy, go ahead and share what you and your group did this week already. Inspire us.
The leaders are actually probably, they've been through Young Life. They have our college kids, maybe older, so they're pretty busy, but they give 20 hours a week of no pay to reach out to the youth. They'll go to their basketball games, any activities at the schools that they can to get to know the kids. They invite them then to join Young Life at Club on Monday evenings at 7:27. We can remember an odd number. We might forget 7:30, but we remember 7:27. And once they're at the club, it is a fun time because we party with a purpose. We want them to feel loved, all these teenagers, and to enjoy being there. They might throw a pie in the face of a leader. Now that's really kindness on a leader's part. But then, at the end of this club, 10 minutes is devoted to talk about Jesus. And we started club about 13 years ago with one person attending, and we've been up to 150 on a Monday night. And that's not always every Monday, but we can count on usually we've had 100. COVID changed things, but we're building back up. The leaders, because they give all this time, we decided to honor them. And some of the ladies have helped prepare a meal, like we took a meal Monday for the leaders who meet before club. We're praying every day for the leaders and for Young Life, but we want the leaders to feel loved because they give so much. We're going to do another meal, and we're probably going to do some snack packs or something. But they were pretty excited when they saw different ones there bringing food, and not just those of us who've been on the committee or the board. We party with a purpose. It's a missionary group reaching out to teenagers. And we are making a difference in East, West, and St. Joseph High School. And we've opened up now in Edna. So party with a purpose.
Thank you, Nancy. And as I said last Wednesday, one of the things that I encourage you as you do something for the sake of your neighbors. And it doesn't have to be something that's world transforming. It could be a very simple act of kindness. But as you do something, I encourage you to discern how you experience God in the process. How was God in the process, and how did you experience? How did you feel? And how did you sense God's very presence in that act? Thank you. Anybody else did anything this past week since last Wednesday that is worth us giving thanks for? Well, again, I want to remind you that you are invited to form a group, 3 or more, but no more than 10. And get together, discern, pray about what can you do for the sake of our community in Victoria, in the surrounding areas, that will make a difference, that would carry out this work that Christ has done in pointing people to Christ. I know one possibility that I've been thinking about, and I just need a group to do it. There are several places in town, establishments, storefronts, and so forth, that their grass is up to here. I don't know what the deal is if they don't have a lawnmower or something, but it would be great if somebody would go in there and say, we want to bless you by taking care of your front lawn or something so that you can get more people coming into your business. And at the same time, it would bless our city, making it look great. There are places in Victoria that could use that. And just go in the store and ask them if you would bless them tremendously. And you, I know you'll bless you and your team or your group to do that. There are other things. Again, it doesn't have to be life-transforming for them or world-changing, but it's an act of kindness, humility on our parts, but an act of graciousness that would make people say, you know, those people are strange, but whatever they got, I want some of it. Okay? Do something. Do something for the sake of your brothers and sisters who may be longing for that connection with Jesus. And you just might be the conduit. Amen.